I skipped my mammogram in 2018 because, after all, I was 75 years old. And you know what they say, you probably don't have to worry about breast cancer by then. Most people who get a serious disease like that will probably die with it rather than of it. But in 2019, my physician said I should probably get one because you can still get breast cancer. So I obediently scheduled one. It was a regular mammogram, just like all the others I had had over the years, except this one came back with a suspicious spot on it. Several years earlier, I had had another one with a suspicious area. I had a second mammogram, and it turned out to be a papilloma, which was easily removed by surgery. So I thought that that's probably what this was. I even called the surgeon, Dr. Perry, and asked about that surgery to make sure what it was and which side it was on. So when they said I should have another mammogram, I did. This also came back suspicious and warranted a biopsy. So I dutifully scheduled that. I had no symptoms, no lump, no pain, none of the things that would make me think I had a problem. So I wasn't too worried about the biopsy. I had never had a biopsy before, so it was an interesting experience. The radiologist inserted a needle, large needle, and told me it would shoot in and grab a sample of tissue. She did this several times to get an accurate reading, and I went on my way. I did have a nice bruise at the site. They said they would call me. In fact, a very nice woman at the front desk told me she would be the one to call and tried to put me at ease. We were on our way to the temple that fateful Friday morning when my phone rang. I answered it, and it was not the woman who said she would call me, but someone else in the office. She wasted no time in pleasantries, but got right to the lousy news of the diagnosis. It was cancer. That was certainly not what I wanted to hear. I wrote a note in my chart to my physician, told her the results, and asked for her advice and opinion on how to proceed. I was pleasantly surprised that she called me personally that afternoon, and we had about a 20-minute conversation. Then I go on to talk about how I had another surgery going on at the same time. And finally, when I got back with the breast surgeon, the appointment with Dr. Perry was rather cut and dry. She said it was HER2 positive, very common and treatable. It originates in the milk ducts and was probably still likely contained there. But of course, the tumor needed to be removed in a lumpectomy before it spread. She threw out all these names and terms and procedures, and I felt like I was drinking from a fire hose. She gave me a brochure full of terms and diagnoses and treatments, and I didn't understand a bit of it. I had emailed the kids and laughingly and told them that we had some health issues and laughingly asked Ken how long he thought it would be before one of them called and who would be the first. It was Brad within the hour. I again emailed the kids and told them that I was scheduled for surgery. I had the colon surgery, which was the other one I was having, and if it were just that, I could deal with it. I was tender and sore, but I would heal, and it would soon be all over. But I had this other sword hanging over my head. The colon surgery was over, but I had breast cancer. I had to have a lumpectomy, which probably wouldn't be a big deal since it's only day surgery. But I had breast cancer. I just got weepy at times. How much should I fight? How would this play out? Will they get it all? Will it reoccur? How long will it take? Will I be sick? Will I have to take a leave of absence from the temple, and for how long? The saga continued. First, it's bad luck that I got cancer. It's not hereditary, just bad luck. Then it's bad luck that I had to have the second surgery. The margins weren't big enough, whatever that means. And it doesn't happen often, once in a blue moon, but lucky me, I got it. And then to top it off, I found out that Texas Oncology in Flower Mound doesn't take the subgroup of our insurance. However, we learned that the group in Grapevine did, so that's where I would go. We went to the oncologist. He told me about the treatment and so on. Finally, the day arrived, and everything seemed to be going fine. It really wasn't that bad. The third week was a surprise. I didn't have treatment because my white blood count was so low that I didn't have anything to fight any infection. So I was hoping maybe I would be able to handle this all and I'd have to stop. I felt like the governor had called and commuted my sentence, but it was an absolutely terrible week. I couldn't remember the last time I felt that bad. It was like the lost weekend. I had zero energy, ended up running a fever, and had to have an antibiotic called in. Seriously, these people were trying to kill me. I felt like Lahontai, to whom Amalekiah administered poison by degrees until he died. Um, When this all began, I had texted the kids, Diane, Ken's siblings, Jean, and Nicole, but no one else. When I texted Jean, she came over with a cozy blanket and 2 half gallons of Bluebell ice cream. She knows what I like. I was overwhelmed at the goodness of people when they learned about my diagnosis. Some brought flowers and chocolate. I got sweet texts from several sisters. One sent a quote from the Come Follow Me manual. She paraphrased it, and I like her version better than the actual quote. She said, "The atonement can heal the fears of our hearts and heal the anxieties of our minds." As we went to exercise, a lot of the people there told me that they were praying for me and gave me hugs. So many people brought us dinner and other goodies. I am constantly amazed at the goodness of people. They have done the housework I didn't have the strength to do, brought flowers, chocolate of the week, a quilt, books, and so many other acts of kindness. My emotions were on such a roller coaster. Mad, sad, okay, depressed, anxious, wanted to get things going. I tried not to fall apart, but I don't think I was very successful. People kept telling me, "I could do this, I could do hard things, and you've got this." Oh, how I hate that phrase. I didn't have this. I had a minor meltdown at church one Sunday, and I wanted Ken to take me home, but fortunately he wasn't available, so I didn't. I was just overwhelmed. I would think I had a handle on my emotions, and then I'd burst into tears again. I was so tired of feeling tired all the time and just generally lousy. It was very discouraging. It was extremely discouraging. I felt like I wasn't making any progress because if I didn't have a treatment, nothing happened. Finally, in August, the best news ever, the doctor decided to discontinue the chemo. Apparently, my body is ultra-sensitive to chemo and didn't do well. And then, of course, I became discouraged because I didn't feel good. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was hoping because I hadn't had any chemo treatments for a couple of months that I'd feel better, but so far that wasn't happening. And what were residual side effects? What is the purpose of arresting the breast cancer so I don't die of it, only to die because the chemo ruined my heart or the radiation damaged my lungs? And what about the effects on the rest of my body? I was just so discouraged about the whole thing. There were some humorous times through all this. The first week I wore my wig to church, one of the brothers in the ward asked Ken if I was Yvonne's sister. Maybe I should get another wig that's grayer. My ministering sister brought over some goodies one day, and I almost cracked up laughing at her youngest little girl. When I answered the door, I wasn't wearing my wig or even a hat. Au naturel with an almost bald head, and her eyes got really big, and she just looked at me like she was trying to figure out who I was and what was wrong. It was all I could do not to laugh out loud. In December 2019, I told Dr. Romney that I was done. I had given it the old college try. If it comes back, I'll deal with it, but I didn't want to continue anything, and it didn't take a lot of convincing for him to agree. If I had known then what I know now, I would not have done this whole chemo thing. I would have taken the 75% chance of it not returning and run with it. Then I would have felt good and not lost a year of my life. Most of life's experiences have a lesson. So what have I learned through this experience? I have learned that people are so good and kind. They served me with whatever I needed without judgment or the possibility of repayment, but cheerfully and lovingly. I never asked why me, I just accepted it as bad luck and a part of being mortal. I learned to appreciate the Savior's atonement for me, that he has already experienced my pain and sorrows and suffered them so I could take advantage of that. My testimony of his divine gift increased. I would never choose willingly to go through this trial, but I think I am better for the experience.